I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
Dear Lord, just as you sent your prophet John the Baptist to declare the coming of your word, so you have sent preachers from that time to this. And for this day, you have sent Joel to proclaim among us your good news of the coming of Christ. Be with him, and bless us as we hear these good words. Amen.
Thank you for that prayer, Linda. Well, good morning, everyone. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and Scott gave an excellent explanation to our children about what that means, this season of waiting, this season of anticipation for the birth of Christ on Christmas. And at the end of this Advent season, what we will be doing is we will be celebrating the most important event of human reality. And that is God came to this planet. God came to this earth. That in the coming of Jesus Christ, who was born in that stable in Bethlehem, and throughout his whole life, his birth, his life, his work, his ministry, God visited this place. God, the creator of the entire universe, came into this creation that God made. And God came in the form of an infant, in the form of Jesus. And God came among the poor and the lost and the forgotten and the overlooked. That God came and God put on human flesh and blood and entered into our world. And this is the event that we will be celebrating at Christmas. And this is the season that we lead up to that event and prepare our hearts and our minds and our lives to be people who celebrate that event. And when this event comes in, 23 more days, when this event finally comes, it'll be celebrated by many people, millions of people, billions of people perhaps. And it will be celebrated with or without fully understanding what it is. And it'll be celebrated with or without awareness of what we are saying. It'll be celebrated consciously or unconsciously. And even for Christians, for people of faith, that this explosive Christmas miracle that God came to this planet, you know, it may be celebrated and enjoyed while not always truly appreciating what it is that we declare, what it is that we say at Christmas. God visited our world. God came to us. God did this once long ago in a stable at Bethlehem, and God will visit this place again and visit this world anew. Our reading today came from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And this is from one of the letters of John. There are three letters of John. And for this season of Advent, we will be focusing on John's writings. So today we read from one of John's letters, and for the next several weeks of Advent, we will be focusing on the Gospel of John, the introduction of that Gospel. Some people call it the prologue. Now, truth be told, there is some debate about whether or not the same John who wrote the Gospels also wrote the letters of John. But regardless, there are a lot of thematic and theological connections between these letters and the Gospel of John. So we can sort of imagine it as like one kind of community who John was very influential in, right? And so this community of the early church that existed soon after Jesus was resurrected, there's a connection and there are themes in the John writings that we'll be looking at. And so today we're looking at 1 John chapter 1, 1 to 5. And Kate read the passage for us, and it's from the NRSV. Lately, we've been reading from the Common English Bible, which I really like. But there was something about this passage that I just really appreciated in a little more formalized and even sort of a poetic kind of expression, so I went back to the NRSV for that. As she read, as I'll read again here, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that we have seen and heard, so that you might have fellowship with us." And then skipping down, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." There's something about the way that that is expressed in this version that I just really appreciate, the deep resonance, the depth of meaning and significance of what is being talked about here in this passage. But you also notice in your bulletins, if you turn to the back, I also included another translation. This one was from The Message, that was translated by a Presbyterian pastor named Eugene Peterson, who actually passed away somewhat recently. But The Message is just more of a paraphrase in contemporary language of the Bible. And I really like that version too. Peterson says, "From the very first day we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, we saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most somber prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it. We heard it. And now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. Not a trace of darkness in him." And I really like sort of the freshness and the aliveness and the energy that I seem to encounter in Eugene Peterson's rendering of it. So both versions are good, right? And read multiple versions, right? Because they're all good and they all speak to us in different ways. But this core message of being proclaimed that God is light, and this light of God incarnate in Jesus Christ is this season that we're in and celebrating and preparing to celebrate at Christmas. That this light that was with God in the beginning, as we'll look at next week, and this light that was revealed among the disciples from the very beginning, and they saw it and they walked with him, this person of Jesus, the light of God, was coming into the world. And they've seen it, and they testify to it. And this is their hope. This is their joy. And this hope and this joy is magnified even more and more as they testify to it and others come to share in that. That for this community of people gathered around John, that they saw the light and they touched it and it was real for them. It had meaning and depth and significance. This core message that God is light. And that light has come into the world. Now, it's a little bit of an odd thing, maybe, to say that God is light. Is a word that often draws equivalence between two things, right? So God is light, but it doesn't quite work to then say that light is God. It wouldn't quite work to reverse that, as if God is the actual light from the sun or from our light bulbs or anything like that. And so the way that I could maybe think about it a little bit is that, you know, we might look at our carpet and say, our carpet is purple. And yes, it is, but it could also be blue or green or polka dot or yellow or black, and it would still be carpet, correct? It would not look good, perhaps, but it would be carpet. There's nothing about carpet that has to be purple. But when we talk about God is light, we're not just sort of describing God in that way, like God is bright or that God is shiny, but there's something about God whose very nature and being or essence is light. That there's something more, not totally equivalent, but more equivalent in saying that God is light than it is in saying the carpet is purple. We're talking about something much deeper. And so light, as we think about light, light is a significant thing. Light does many significant things. And if we think about light throughout the scriptures, light appears in a whole bunch of different ways. Light illumines and guides, just as the pillar of fire illuminated and guided the Israelites in the wilderness. Light shows us the way that we go, just as Scripture, the Psalms talk about Scripture as being a word to, or a light to my path and a light unto my feet. Scripture can show us the way to go. Intense light can overpower. All right, just as the light that overpowered the Apostle Paul and knocked him to his knees. Light casts out darkness. Just as Jesus talked about, no one lights a lampstand and puts it under a bushel, but puts it on the lampstand so it illuminates a room. Or, throw back to last Advent, if you remember the Advent apocalypse, right? Light, like the rider on the white horse with fire in his eyes who comes out and casts out the Bro of Babylon from the depths of the earth, right? Some of you weren't there, I know, but... right? Light does many things. Light is many things. Light can be peaceful, warm, comforting, a source of hope. Light can be abrupt, sudden, overwhelming. It can be the glad tidings of angels that announce to the shepherd the birth of a Savior, or it can be the "who told you to flee from the coming wrath" of John the Baptist, which if we were following the lectionary, that's what we would open Advent with, so, you know, Merry Christmas to everybody. Right? Light can do many things, right? And so there's something significant in saying that God is light. More than just God is bright and shiny, but there's something significant about drawing this deep connection between God and light. So light can do many things, but what matters most is if people are watching for it. And Advent is about watching for it. In John's day, perhaps we can imagine people being people throughout the generations. In John's day, perhaps there were people who weren't watching for it. And so when it came, they missed it, or they didn't see it. Or perhaps it came upon them suddenly and unexpectedly, like someone waking you up in the middle of the night by turning the lights on and pulling off your covers. Sort of abrupt, sort of shocking. But John's community, right, this group of people, were imagining a church gathered around John in the writings of John in the early church. John's community was watching for the light. Right? Many of them had been watching for the light. They were watching for it like a watchman waits for the morning. They were watching it for the early signs of light, just as the sun is rising above the hemisphere. They were watching for it and anticipating that eternal, ethereal glow, even just the beginning glimpses of it. And John's community was watching for it because there were people in that community who were testifying to it and talking about it. And so when people keep talking about it and testifying to it, people keep watching for it because they know there's something there. They know there's something that they ought to be paying attention to. And so they look for that light just as a watchman watches for the light of the new day. Now in John's time, as he's talking about here on the prologue, right, what they're testifying to is what they have seen from the very beginning, that these were people who walked along with Jesus and saw the whole thing sort of unfold, and they were there, and they literally touched him and saw him and walked with Jesus. Now, in our day, there aren't people who did that, right? There are no longer those people, right? Generations have passed, years have passed. None of us physically touched Jesus. But there are people who know him, and there are people who testify to him, right? That's the calling of the church, right? That's who we are, the people who keep testifying to the light, people who keep talking about what we have seen and touched in deep ways, in mysterious ways. Well, Maureen and I had the rare privilege of receiving an unexpected phone call in the office this week. And it's not the type of phone call that one typically receives. She answered the phone, as she normally does. I was busy, so she talked to the woman on the other end of the line and found out that a few months ago, this woman's mother had passed away, and this woman was settling the affairs of her mother's estate and had a gift for Toledo Mennonite Church. Well, that's a nice call to receive, right? Not a typical call that a church office receives. I've been the pastor here around 8 years. That's the first sort of cold call of someone who just says, we have money for you. Okay. So Maureen took the information, set up a time for them to come in and meet so that we could talk. And then in the meantime, Maureen and I were like, well, okay, do you recognize this name? Do you know who this person is? We asked around a little bit. Nobody knew. We looked in the church files. Now we couldn't find anything. And so we didn't know what to expect or what this was all about. Well, Thursday came, the morning came. Thursday, they came into the office. We sat down with them. And the basic story is this. In 1974, this woman was in need. And there was a connection with their family and the auto workers union. And the auto workers union, I mean, if anyone knows how the connection is here, I'd be fascinated to know, but the auto workers union directed them to Bancroft Mennonite Church. And she went there. And our predecessors at Bancroft Mennonite Church, just a few blocks down that way, whatever they did is sort of lost to memory. Her children don't even remember. But they offered, I don't know, a food basket or money, or maybe people prayed alongside her or did whatever. But whatever they did, motivated in the spirit of Christian love and discipleship, motivated in the spirit and animated by the source of hope that they had, they offered help to this woman. And through the years, sometimes this family would be driving on Bancroft Mennonite Church, and their mom would always say to their children, who are now grown children, she would always say, remember, that's the church that helped us. That's the church that helped us. And she instilled in her children this attitude and this spirit of generosity and gratefulness. And so, now that they're settling their mother's affairs, they came to us with a gift. A gift to the Compassion Fund, their way of paying it forward so that we also can go on and pay that forward, and their way of saying thank you. And so somewhere along the lines, our forebears at Bancroft Mennonite Church saw the light of God in Christ, experienced that in some way, felt that, touched that, testified to that, and that spirit filled them with joy and fellowship with God and with one another, and this then spilled over into a spirit-filled act of generosity. They testified to what they knew. Did they know incomplete, right? Did they know everything? Did they have it all figured out? No. But they testified to what they knew. And it just goes to show that anything that we do to testify to the light, the piece of the light that we see, the piece of the light that we know, anything that we do to testify to that has an impact. Now, we don't always know, I'm convinced, we don't always know the full impact. And imagine if we did, we'd be blown away by the mystery and the wonder of it. We don't always know the full impact of small acts of testifying to the light, but in this case, we have a glimpse into what the impact was. And it's sort of like this season in general. Sometimes we go through life and we don't always know the true importance of what it means to testify to what we have seen and heard. Just like this season. Sometimes we go through this season and we prepare for Christmas or we celebrate, but we aren't fully aware of what we're saying, that God in Christ visited this planet, came to this world, came to our lives. The sense of mystery of the Christmas season, that Christ came to this world and that Christ now lives in the church, that we, His people, are His body, His hands, and His feet. And that God continues to visit this planet every time and everywhere there are people who live in the light and walk in the light. And that God will visit this world again. And then everybody will see the light that is true light and the God that is true God. Those who are watching and those who are sleeping. Those who are busy and those who are bored. Those who take more than they need, and those who give all they have. The light will do many things, and the light will be seen by all, for God is light. And so, brothers and sisters, as we enter into this season of Advent, and we anticipate the coming of Christ at Christmas, may we all walk in the light while there is light. May we all walk in truth while there is truth, for truth is a rare commodity these days. May we walk in life while there is life, because there are many who dwell in the valley of the shadow of death and darkness and despair and need hope that there is life in this world. Let us walk in joy while there is joy, for many seek joy in temporal things and are left continually unsatisfied. Let us walk in justice while there is justice, for the days are evil. Let us walk in meekness and humility while there is meekness and humility, for the arrogant and the proud will come to ruin. Let us walk in righteousness while there is righteousness, for that can't be taken away from us. So let us walk in light while there is light, so that the light does not catch us unaware, but that we see it rising like the sun, and we see the early signs of its coming, and that we have joy and light in God's fellowship and fellowship with one another, and that that joy and that light brings us hope. Hope as we walk through this world. Hope as we walk together, surrounded by the fellowship of God and one another. And then, brothers and sisters, as we walk in the light, tell about it. Share about it. Testify to what you have seen and heard. Increase your joy and the joy of others based on what you have seen and heard and touched with your own hands. And may God come into your life so that you can see and touch Him anew this season of Advent. Amen.